Hello, bus riders. Welcome on the bus.
Welcome.
Very subtle. What's up, guys? We are in Salt Lake City right now, but we're not going to be here long. The bus is ready to move. It's ready to go. We got it all tuned up and ready for shipping. We're going to be heading down south, certainly. We're heading to Houston, where we're going to be shipping this bus to Columbia. And we're going to be stopping in a few places along the way, from Aspen to a few national parks, and bring in more of all these interviews, all these amazing stories to you all. So please make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you are getting up to date and hit with everything that you need to know about the podcast and where it's going.
And now on to today's great news section. Brandon and I have received a ton of requests for finding a way to pledge post-Kickstarter to what we're doing. And as creators, as someone putting out content, it's massively grateful. We're massively grateful for all the people who want to donate to our show. So we've gone ahead and added right in the front and center of our website a donate button that will go directly to helping us fund not only our second season tour in South America, but also to this show. And currently under construction is our Patreon page. Patreon is a platform in which creators can put up their own page, YouTubers, podcasters, and we've gone ahead and used this platform because we really truly believe in the essence of what they're doing here. This allows creators to receive funds directly as opposed to some record label or someone who takes a huge percentage off the top. So not only is this a great platform that we believe in, it's something you're going to see from us in the coming weeks. We're going to be able to give extras, background scenes from our trip in South America, you name it. It's super easy to use, so keep an eye out for that.
More rewards. There's going to be rewards on rewards. There's incentives. We're thinking about you guys. We're thinking about you.
Add-ons and plugins.
Now, before we get into today's guest, we have a few little things, goodies, things to share with you, and things that are going to benefit you. First things first, about the lovely sweethearts at Green Roads World. It's been over a year since I myself have been using the Green Roads product, and it's only been an up-roads, beneficial, great thing for me. And name of the game, the number one thing that this thing's going to contribute and enhance is inflammation. Anti-inflammatory. And a lot of people think inflammation just comes with physical injury and physical harm, but inflammation is everywhere. Inflammation is the body's natural reaction to something. And the CBD oil, the pharmaceutical grade that Green Roads World is over there creating and distributing, is the number one in South Florida, in Florida, in reducing inflammation.
It is not the THC.
Non-psychoactive.
Non-psychoactive. You're talking about the cannabinoid receptor in it that is perfectly legal.
It's legal. It's not illegal. That's for sure. And you guys are going to get yourself a 15% discount if you head over to Green Roads World. Now, there's also a place on our website in the shop where you can get connected directly to Green Roads World. And you can use the promo code on the bus. That hasn't changed. And you get yourself a 15% discount on each and every purchase.
Yeah, you can get something like topical creams. Ooh, we just got some of those. They've got oils. They've got gummies, frogs. I love The melatonin frog that I take before I go to bed, right after a workout, relaxes me, calms me, soothes me.
And last but not least, my favorite place I like to jump into, the place I like to go, it's the Amazon portal. And again, that's going to be smack dab in the middle, like those old Chips Ahoy cookies, squeezed in the middle, smack dab in the middle. Amazon portal, it's there. It's right there. People, get online. Get in a portal. You can't shop. You got to get into a car. You're going to die in that car. You might get sick shopping in that grocery cart. You're going to get sick just being around not so great people. And that's the people you're going to run into in a grocery store. The people you're going to run into in a shopping mall. Malls are dying, people. Don't go where death is. Get in the portal. And that is on our page. It's going to say shop on our Amazon portal. Front, smack dab in the middle. And why else? Where else but the portal? Now, on to today's guest. We just breezed through those bad boys right there. Stepping on the bus, we got Jeremy Abramson. Jeremy is the mobility expert. Someone I even go to and go and check out all the things that he's doing and all the things he's getting into. One of the number one reasons why we brought him on the show. But besides being a mobility expert, Jeremy's an entrepreneur and business owner of a company called E3 Performance. Energy, effort, and efficiency. It's all about looking and optimizing your life, not just through exercise, but looking to optimize your life in any and all facets. And that's what Jeremy does, not just through personal training, but also with mentorship. He works with athletes all across the spectrum. Now, enough with all the content, with all the jibber jabber. Let's get this bus moving. Over there, just studiously writing down his notes, we got Coach Jeremy. You just go by Jeremy.
Just Jeremy. Well,
we'll make sure right there you're talking right there. That's the mic you're going to want right there.
Functional patterns.
Jeremy, Jeremiah, Big Germ, Jer Air.
Big Germ.
The nicknames go deep. So whatever you feel comfortable calling me, I'm good with all of it.
Germ, Jeremiah. I'll take it.
Actually, in Spanish, it's Jeremias, which I really like, actually.
Jeremias. Well,
that's
if
a nice
you
ring.
Have a son with a, you know, beautiful Spanish woman. I mean, there you go. You got your first name.
I'm already prepared, man. You know?
To have a kid?
I think it's in the future, you know?
Are you prepared, like, as in you're ready to have a kid?
Because that's nothing you can really plan
for. Yeah, nothing, not right now. I'm 26. Feel like 5 years, I'll be 31, more established, you know?
Do you think anything and about then, having children later in life has a negative impact on, or a higher impact on them getting autism?
I mean, I know there's definitely studies that show that, right? It's crazy because I'm actually a mistake as a son. My parents were just having a good time one night. My mom was like 40. My dad was 40. And like all of a sudden they get the news like, yo, you got another one coming. And yeah, dude, I had like some issues when I was growing up. Like my intestines were knotted when I was 11 months old and they had to go in. And there's like a 50-50 chance I was going to make it, but... Dude, I'm a miracle baby. So my brother used to fuck with me and say like, yo, you're a mistake child. Like you shouldn't even be here. You don't belong. I was like, dog, you just watch. I belong. It's my time. Let's get it.
Oh, that's nuts. How many older siblings do you have?
I just got one, man. Unfortunately, he's 30. My parents started late. My dad had some commitment issues. So he regrets it.
Are you tied at all with your brother?
Yeah, of course. Okay. He's out in Spokane, Washington.
So. Well, you said it like it was regretful. Like, yeah, unfortunately.
No. Unfortunately, I only have one brother. Like, I wish I had more, you know, but can't really control
What's he
that.
Do out in Spokane?
He owns he actually owns like a little independent movie theater. And yeah, it's pretty
That's niche. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very bizarre.
It's very Pacific Coast of him. You're going to find that in Oregon, Northern California,
it's very
Washington.
Northwest.
When the robots take over, you're going to go west and you're going to find, you know, your old things that you used to hang out and do, movie theaters, for example.
No, yeah.
Car washes.
It's a cool spot though. I actually, cause he does it all himself, like a one man show. And I told him, I was like, when the Super Bowl happened, I was like, dude, you need to like open it up for big events. Like, so like the McGregor the Mayweather McGregor fight coming up. I was like, dude, just like get that HD big ass. Like a ton of people would want to hit that up, I think, you know?
Yes and no. Does he have like selective seating? Like he is like, I mean, because think about a bar. I mean, you have a little more space to move around. If you got to sit like in that stadium style seating.
It's not like a.
For 12 rounds.
Yeah.
Even though that fight's
not. Because it's definitely going 12 for sure.
That fight's not going 12.
I think McGregor's going to knock his ass out in like 2 or 3. But that's another topic for maybe another day. Maybe we'll cover that now. What do you think?
It's up to you.
It's up to you. Keep going. Make sure you're talking to the mic right there.
Dude, I fucking love this mic in my hand. It's so empowering. You know?
It really is.
Sounds like Conor McGregor right now.
It's like broadcasting to the world. Listen up. We hear. On the bus.
Does McGregor have any chance at all?
Listen, I don't know if you guys follow Ido Portal?
No.
Nah.
So Ido Portal, there's a great movie that just came out. It's a documentary on him. He's like the number one movement coach in the world. You know, he started off doing capoeira when he was 15 in Israel. And he's just like a genius with the body. And he traveled the world and like gained an understanding for the for each different modality and working out, training, nutrition. And 2 years ago, he started working with McGregor, gained a lot of traction. He has like 500,000 followers now. So I watch his stuff with McGregor all the time. So like McGregor, I think is gonna be ready mentally. It's tough, man. Like McGregor's quick and explosive, McGregor's quick and explosive and younger, but I mean Mayweather is 49-0, and like McGregor's not a boxer.
I went back and watched all of his like little highlights of each of his fights, especially against big time fighters, and just watching him in that slow motion, just, you know, being able to dodge the punch here, you know, looking at the punch and moving here, and him not even firing back, you know, because each, even as a defensive fighter, each punch that gets thrown at you is a negative impact to the other fighter. That's energy he's exerting and outputting. He's not gonna have that energy again. Like, right. Energy's been used, it's been exerted, and now he's out. So I mean, this guy's just basically playing with you. I don't have to exert any force, just move out of the way, least amount of force possible, to just beat him. So I mean, if you got this one guy who claims to be more of a boxer in a mixed martial arts format, and he's got to chase the greatest tactical fighter ever, I mean, I'm just looking at everything as logically as possible. I don't see it.
No, it's crazy too, because
people, and not discrediting Conor McGregor.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's a great fighter.
People hear, you know, obviously it's a huge marketing thing, and it's, everyone's gonna watch, just because why wouldn't you? You know, it's so intriguing. But the Vegas odds, I think, before all those press conferences started, like
-750,
+1100 for McGregor. Yeah, so he was like an 11-1 shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now after all those press conferences and all the shit talking and the hype that was built, it's like 5-1.
Yeah, but let's think about this. Vegas is trying to hone in, and they're trying to win money. Their job is to go after people's, you know, their faith, you know, their lack of knowledge.
The psychology of the
human. Yeah, so there's like, oh, they're thinking, oh, this is going to happen. They think this guy has a chance. Let's lower the odds so more people bet on Conor McGregor. And once more people bet on Conor McGregor, he's going to lose, when this guy's still the clear favorite.
Of course.
Vegas wins more money.
And yet, it's their job. The money was all going towards, a lot of the money was going to McGregor, so that kind of swayed the line. But let's be honest, most people bet with their heart, not their head. So, you know,
that's why
a lot of people want McGregor to win. So they're going to put money on him. They're going to put more at stake. Just like me, every year I put Raiders. Like, despite the odds, I put $100 that they'll win the Super Bowl. Literally, for the last, like, what, I'm 26.
You're in good company. You got a Jags fan over here.
Hey, Raiders are on the up, though. Like, we're +1200, so +1200? That's a great bet. I put, like, $200 on this year.
I think we got
David Carr. We got Marshawn Lynch. He's not standing for the national anthem, but he's going to be standing in the end zone dancing after all them touchdowns.
I like he's going to play with so much passion for the Raiders. Like, he loves that. He loves that hometown so much that he came out of retirement just to play for the Raiders.
Dude.
Like, he rooted for them when he is on the Seahawks because he loved the Raiders so much.
Yeah, man. Oakland, when you're from a place like that, you know, it runs deep.
Well, exactly. And he's a guy who can, you know, really buy into and go into being his end of career role that he's going to play, you know, short field back, you know, punching in the end zone, going after short yards, and he's got the body type for that. And still, I'm sure, has the amount of energy and physical output they can put into that. Yeah. But again, everything we're talking about here is all about physical fitness, about movement and modality, and that's what you specialize in. Tell me more about you.
Yeah, so I recently launched my own training company about 6 months ago. But yeah, like you said, movement, mobility are kind of big things for me, just because didn't really start off that way. It kind of started more traditionally. I always enjoyed working out, stuff like that. And then after I kind of was spent time around athletes and general population, I kind of realized, like, everyone struggles in one area, and that is they deal with pain, they deal with injuries. And why do they have to deal with this on a daily basis? Like, obviously in a violent sport, some of that stuff you can't really prevent it, right? And a lot of that is avoidable, though, in my opinion. So I kind of realize, you know, it's become normal in society. We spend 10, 12, 14 hours sitting in a chair driving to work. And you realize, like, what that actually does to your body, right? Your shoulders are slouched. Your rib cage is collapsed. You're not really breathing consciously. Your hips tighten up, everything, right? So kind of realize like, wow, this is something that needs to change, and some really just bring awareness to people. Like, listen, you don't have to be living in pain. You don't have to, you can have all the millions of dollars in the world, right? But if you can't play catch with your grandchild, or you can't walk around when you're traveling around Europe or South America, then what the fuck's the point of working your ass off for all those millions? You know what I mean? So, so that really resonated strong with me. And that's kind of really like, in terms of myself, you know, I always had like little bits of pain here and there, but since I've really taken my stuff to the next level, it's been a life-changing thing. You know, bringing awareness to the body is just beautiful.
Was it more injury, or was it more, you know, you looking after people, or just more caring of ways, finding ways to help, especially once you got into being a trainer, being someone that helped assisted with people's well-being?
Yeah, I would say the real game changer for me was in November this past year. I went to Austin, Texas, for an Onnit Academy certification. And, you know, I thought before that, like, I felt good about myself, like, as a trainer. I felt like my energy, my passion was there, of course, and my knowledge was also there. But that was a super humbling experience going out there. And then also the knowledge I picked up was just ridiculous. I mean, learned a bunch of different unconventional training techniques, but also just the importance of, like, prepping your joints for movement. You know, so many people, they're at work 8 to 5, then they go to a CrossFit class and they're overhead squatting and they're doing all these movements their body's not ready to do, right? And then our body has crazy ways of compensating. You know, like, you'll get through the workout. You might even feel good, like, damn, like, I just crushed that hour, right? But 6 months, 3 months, 9 months, 12 months down the road, you're going to be paying the price. So, I mean, if you just look at the numbers of, like, just back pain, was a $50 billion industry in the U.S. last year. And that's just, like, what was reported.
Isn't the problem, like, pain? Everyone's going through pain management instead of being proactive.
Exactly. No, and that's exactly it. I think, you know, there's reactive and proactive. So I think most people are reactive, like, they get a disease, they get sick, so they go to the doctor or the hospital. But a lot of these things, just with lifestyle changes, what you're putting into your body and what you're doing outside, you know, or the real game changer. That's where the magic happens. So, you know, the stuff we're doing now, we're all in our 20s. You know, we're all taking care of our bodies, watching what we're putting in, watching what we're doing physically. We're going to reap the rewards 30, 40 years down the road. Sorry, I cut you off though.
No. I wanted to know, you were talking about some joint mobility exercises. Like, what is one joint mobility exercise that anyone could get started on?
That's a good question. Joint mobility. Are you, like, no equipment?
Yeah, no equipment. Just someone's body weight at home.
Okay. So what I advise everyone to do is shin boxes. So that's basically both hips. It's kind of hard to describe it. Both hips are at a 90-degree angle on the ground, and you basically rotate them side to side. So you're getting internal and external rotation of the hip, which is a really big issue with most people, is moving those hips. But if that sounds too complicated, because I know I can't really demo.
I got one too. Just calf raises. Just switching up the different angles you can get for your calves.
Exactly. Yeah. So calf raises is huge. I see Brandon doing those in all different positions. And then just holding a squat. Like, getting down there and weight on your heels. Okay, you can use a wall in front of you or a pole, whatever you have to get started. See how long you can genuinely hold that position without getting out of it, like staying down there. And Kelly Starrett, who's like a mobility god, right?
Yeah.
He says if you're not a fit person if you can't hold it for 10 minutes. Like, I don't think I can hold it for 10, so I don't know what that means, but I would start off doing that for a minute, right? And then maybe try upping it each day, a minute 30, 2 minutes. Don't try and go for everything in one day. Just slowly build, slowly progress, but just holding a squat is like a powerful thing, right? And, you know, you see all these Instagram famous people, and we all know how important squats are, right? And they're squatting these heavy loads on their spine with barbells, and it's just crazy to me because...
Especially when they add the overhead element to it.
Yeah, and the shoulders up. There's so much tactical stuff that goes into that movement, and it's like the number one limitation in most people is ankle mobility. And if you have poor ankle mobility, you're not even going to be able to do a squat with your body weight.
I've been on a I just started a 10-week ankle mobility program. I'm 4 weeks in, and today, first day, week four, was hold the deep squat for 1 minute, just like you just described.
Well, you're going. So, are you going all the way to the ground, like trying to get your butt to the floor, like how some people in India eat?
Like
their
he showed me the other day, it's deep squat. Like, yeah, you're getting at, but you know, back arched.
Elbows inside your
elbows
legs, right?
As far as I can get them, and then after I sit for a minute, then I start shifting to ankles. Is that a good thing to do?
Yeah, exactly. So that's really key, keeping that torso upright while you do it. And for people at home, like if you might feel that in your low back, right? The deeper you go, if you do feel that in your low back, I would advise just opening up the angle on your feet a little bit, right? So ideally, you'd be able to do a squat, feet squared, hips squared, feet pointed directly forward. But if you feel that a little bit in the low back, which some people may, I would just suggest opening up those feet, maybe a 45-degree angle, and give that a shot.
How do you tailor different programs to different clients? Like, not everyone's body's built the same. So do you get different clients that have, you know, one has flexion of the feet that are too far outwards? Like, how do you build a program around different types of clients?
Wow, I'm really glad you asked that. That segues perfect into what I wanted to talk about next.
That's what I'm here for, transitions.
So I actually recently, I think it was in June, I took what's called the functional movement certification. So it's like, I did like the level two, which is the more advanced one. So pretty much what I do is start off first day, I take people through the basic seven movements: squat, lunge, over, inline lunge, what is it? Shoulder mobility, assisted leg raise, to see like how their hamstrings and hips function, and a couple other things that I'm blanking on. But pretty much that is a good indicator of where their imbalances, where their asymmetries may fall between the left and right sides. And there's always going to be those imbalances. Everyone's different, but almost one thing common across the board is your left side and your right side. If you're right hand dominant and you're doing all these things on a daily basis with one hand, eating, brushing your teeth, talking on the phone, wiping your ass, right?
So hard to wipe your ass with your left. I'll keep going.
Dude, I know. And it's crazy too, because the one time like you fuck up like your pinky finger or your like a toe in your foot, and like you realize how much that one little phalange dictates and alters like the ease of a movement, it's like, damn, like everything plays a role. But to answer your question more directly, like run them through a movement assessment, kind of see how they handle things. One thing that I recently started doing too is I have them hang from a pull-up bar, right? That tells me right away like what's their grip strength like. I can tell if you have good grip strength, that's a pretty solid indicator that you're strong. And you'll see like most people, like 30 seconds, they're done.
Not even. I mean, yeah. Most people, I'm sure you're going to put up there. I mean, depending on the age as well, but they're not going to hold that. I mean, then you add, for me, when I'm training somebody, if it's just a hamstring strength, I'll add the lifting their legs up, doing the leg lift with that. And I mean, there's just no such thing as hamstring strength for anybody who's just trying to just enter the gym for the first time, just to lift those legs up. It's non-existent.
Yeah. So, That one's really good too. If you think about just like we're sitting right now, we're all active guys, but right now we're all sitting down. If you see just the way the body forms when you're sitting, right? Everything compresses and shortens and tightens, right? And that leads to inflammation. So getting on that pull-up bar and hanging, we're lengthening everything.
That's
right?
How I warm up usually. I'll just hang up there for a minute and I'll just use it like a almost like climbing. I'll go from one bar with one hand holding it to another bar, just also to loosen up those shoulders, not even just for the spine, but just like you said, we talked about earlier, opening up those joints before an exercise, or getting those joints ready for all the movement and all the exercise we're about to exert on them.
Yeah, man. That's crazy. Like, seriously, doing that, I've been trying to do that 4 to 5 minutes a day. I'll superset those squat holds with the hangs. Huge difference, man. There's the Joe Rogan podcast, this guy, Steve Maxwell. And fucking, that's like really what opened my eyes to hanging. He was saying how like 80% of shoulder injuries and rotator cuff injuries can be prevented if someone like consistently hangs on a daily basis.
Yeah, I remember that one.
It's crazy, man. Like these little things that we kind of like poo-poo. Yeah, so
I'm surprised you didn't hear that one. Yeah,
yeah.
Lengthening the labrum. So I know he had a whole rehab for almost a year.
Yeah, I had a torn. I had a torn labrum in my shoulder posterior, and I never got surgery because I was recovering from a different surgery. I was like, I don't want to do two surgeries back to back, be in bed. So I went the fully recover route, and it's just now getting better. Now that I'm doing functional movement stuff to heal it, like some of the exercises you showed me, like rolling out my chest. Like, you don't realize, I never realized that, you know, I'm just thinking the scapula is the problem, but the chest is tightened and that's where it connects into the back, right?
Yeah.
And so you don't know something like that. It takes me to getting into mobility before you realize that you need to be strengthening that scapula in the back, doing hangs like you're describing.
Yeah, exactly, man. So one thing that the people out there listening, like, is grab a lacrosse ball, tennis ball, and put it like Daniel was saying, right above your nipple, like towards your armpit where your pec minor is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just roll on that, and then slowly start adding some arm movement. And you'll see exactly what he was talking about in terms of opening up that chest and the whole shoulder complex.
It's game changed.
I definitely say get a lacrosse ball. I don't know if some people will be able to fit on a golf ball with that while still getting that rotation.
No, yeah. Lacrosse ball is definitely the way to go for that one.
Now, do you have, like, what's the most controversial or unorthodox training practice procedure you have? Because I know right there I can see you have a lot of different equipment. You have a lot of equipment that a lot of people don't really use yet. It's equipment that even isn't familiar to a regular person going to a gym down here.
Yeah. You, like, controversial, you said, or unconventional?
Both. Controversial or unorthodox.
It's funny. One guy actually at the gym saw me doing box jumps. And he's like, do you play sports? And I was like, I played sports my whole life. I'm not really playing anything competitive. He's like, why the fuck are you doing box jumps? And I was like, you know, to, like, gain explosiveness from my legs, you know,
mm-hmm.
that type of stuff. Work on my hip extension. And that was ridiculous. I mean, I don't think plyometrics are controversial by any means. Obviously, you have knee issues, they might be. But nothing that I do is really, like, controversial. I would definitely say I get some weird looks most of the time when I'm out there training people or working out myself just on, like, some of the different modalities. And you know, I use, like, the steel mace, the steel clubs, and kettlebells for sure. Use all three of those, like, almost every day. Brought him here, too. So we'll definitely be posting some videos for you guys on some good shit to do.
I just want to be honest. Like, the people that I see doing this type of thing, the movement, are the type of people who are, it seems to be, more advanced in this space. And then the people who are still in the gym pushing bench presses, looking at you like you're crazy, are the ones who just are stuck to whatever they learned in college, in high school football or whatever it is. And I could say the same thing for nutrition. The people in the nutrition space who are listening to whatever their Facebook feed says are the ones that look at you like you're crazy when you're putting moringa in your coffee in the morning. But
Brandon be getting a lot of weird looks around town, I bet.
Yeah, but
he's used to it.
The people in Silicon Valley are the ones who are doing the same things that, you know, we're doing involved here. So I find it fascinating that the space moves this direction where certain people, like, bring in such a unique, I guess, a uniqueness to it that's sort of advanced, and a lot of people, like, look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah. And I it's what you gravitate to, man. Like, you know, there's always that time where you care about aesthetics, right? It's like lifting heavy, like hypertrophy, doing this exercise, like not really understanding why you're doing it, the purpose behind it, right? But you know, like, shit, like this one gets me jacked, you know?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there's days where, like, I'll hit up, like, three or four of my boys, and I'm like, yo, like, let's meet up. I need a bro pump right now. Like, just one of those ones. Like, we do curls. We do fucking bench. Like, we do, like,
some
those
shoulder press in there.
Yeah, like, those traditional exercises. Because, like, there's times where I'm like, yo, I just fucking need that, you know? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't happen very often. Maybe, like, twice a month. Three times.
It's a moderation thing, you know?
Yeah, but
there's nothing wrong with doing that once or twice a month. Because, again, we talked about what you seem to people advise them or want them to be more aware of is inflammation. you know, from the things you talked about, you know, having tightness in your shoulder, but say, okay, there's tightness in my shoulder. Maybe it's stemming from somewhere else, not necessarily my shoulder where the injury is. And I noticed that myself, seeing tendonitis and arthritis in the knee, but then, you know, getting on floorboards and stretching out the bottom of the foot, the plantar fasciitis and the Achilles, and then bam, you do that for 10 minutes and there's no tendonitis in your knee anymore.
Yeah.
And but just looking outside and being more aware of the inflammation. And what do you think, you know, whether that's exercise or a certain mobility exercise that someone can do in order to become more aware of what it is that's not working or something that might be inflamed?
So like you said, I mean, I think a couple of the most important things, areas to attack across the board, obviously, like Daniel said, like, you know, you find out specifically what the need for that person is, but across the board, what I find is ankles, right? Ankle mobility. And it's kind of crazy, actually. You would think a lot of people are under the impression that athletes are just like phenomenal movers and their bodies are fucking perfect, right? Yeah, and you're laughing at that because you know the truth, right? You athletes like yourself are just unbelievable compensators.
Yeah.
Right? And they can do crazy shit. Like, they're freak athletes. But again, especially when you talk about like rotational athletes, like tennis and baseball and basketball, right? You're jumping usually off one foot, the same foot the whole time.
That's going to negatively
impact. Yeah, both of you guys. Those
hamstrings. I remember the longest time, my hamstrings were like rubber bands. They were just pulled to the point, even like back in high school when you could get away with anything as far as what you could do for physical output. And it got to a point, you know, that where it just completely destroyed my lower back and hips. I was, couldn't move. I couldn't rotate my hip up and get out of a car.
Yeah.
Just impossible.
So real quick, I would say ankles, hips, just doing like as big as circles as you can with your hips. They're called controlled articular rotations. If you YouTube like hip cars, CARS, on YouTube, there'll be a ton of videos that pop up. Everyone listening.
That's the one where you had like, you had like a block of standing up and you lift your hip up and you rotate it out over the block and then around and come back inside.
Exactly. And the block is more for a visual, right?
Yeah.
Like to kind of give you an idea, like keep going. You can get a little higher. So essentially you're on one leg. You drive your knee up as high as you can and then you open it up all the way and then you reverse the movement. Slow with good intention. So I think what you said, going back, just breathing. Most people don't take conscious breaths. So I'll always start off with a little breath work to start. Ankles, hips, and then spine. I mean, your spine, your nervous system is everything.
And you say there's like one like body part that would you say like what's the biggest waste of time when it comes to someone focusing on something? I want to say biceps.
Yeah. Biceps have a lot of actual functional use, but in terms of isolating them, I honestly couldn't tell you last time I did an arm workout. If you're doing a lot of back, like I tell people you should train your back, you know, like posterior chain pulling, you know, because that's holding you up.
But I mean, like, even when you do like straight arm, like shoulder exercises, you're still strengthening that bicep muscle.
Yeah, pull-ups, man. Like change the position of your pull-ups. You're hitting a ton of bicep. And then like shrugs, like doing that for your traps. I don't know how much, like, unless you're Terrell Suggs or Ray Lewis, like trying to crack somebody, right? I don't really see a huge benefit in that.
God, these are the biggest traps.
Biggest.
My traps. Does? I used to have huge traps.
Yeah. No, and they look dope. Like, especially when you're, dude, especially when you're like
clean, because I would clean dude, or do high
traps
pulls
were
all
made
time.
For tank tops, or tank tops no, were made
V-necks,
for traps.
No V-necks, bro. Like, yeah. Oh my God, I remember. Like going out like after a good shoulder trap day with a V-neck, like I would feel so confident. I was like, yo, I got my black V on, got my fig rolly. Like I'm going to pull some tonight.
Well, you know how you catch a bear in the woods, right?
Duh.
Traps.
Ooh.
I've never heard that one before.
Good. Saving it.
Hey, you know what's good when he's laughing at his own joke. But yeah, no, for sure. So waste of time. I wouldn't say it's a waste of time, but there's definitely a better use of time than all those just machines you see at the gym. I would say there's maybe one or two that are decent.
It's kind of be good for an old person, like for someone who's not going to do anything else otherwise.
Yeah. It just takes away the whole like core stability component.
But that's a great thing those things do is they fill the role because what people are looking for is to get away from sitting in a desk all day or sitting in a chair all day. And that's what exercise is there for, is meant for you to put your body in whether it's going to be an extreme or just other situations where you can move around and warp the body so it can get those movements that's not used to. You know, just for me, if I know I've been sitting in a chair, I haven't doing anything, I'll crawl, do a bear crawl around somewhere just to throw my back up in the air just to get the movements and there's the blood flowing there. Yeah, man. And it just feels amazing. Just knowing my back's up in the air like that, bam, my hamstrings feel looser already. The upper back is just free and the shoulders get loosened up with that as well. And that's what people are going there with those machines. And I mean, it takes a certain point or time where they want to go to, you know, whether it's using free weights, using a battle rope, using kettlebells, using the maces. But again, a lot of those things aren't mainstream yet. Those things are just not readily available.
Yeah, they're getting there. Once people start with them, this is how it got with me and how a lot of my, you know, fellow people who use those type of things, my boys, who they say the same thing. Dude, it's fucking addicting because you feel so good and like you're so mentally engaged and aware with every rep. And what I mean by that is like most people go to the gym, they're on their phone texting, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're checking email, and they're not mentally engaged with what they're doing. But when you really take a step back and you're zoned in on every fucking rep, right? Every fucking rep. You don't miss one. Everyone has the same intent, same focus. It's like an unbelievable feeling. And that connection between the mind and body has been lost, I think. So those are great for like nervous system development, right? You're talking about that mind-body connection, really, really opening that up too.
Yeah, do you think neuroenergetics, I don't know if that's a real term or not, but...
you just made it one, dog.
Neuroenergetics, when I see that, I see the mental connection that you make when making specific movements. So like, I assume from what I've been reading, for instance, here's an example. Let's say I'm walking outside in the street and I'm walking on gravel. If I stare at the ground, then that creates a different connection with my brain than if I stare forward and let my body make connection while I focus on what's going on around me. If I stare at the ground all the time, then that's going to be my movement. I'm not going to be aware of my surroundings. So let's say that becomes my natural inclination to stare at the ground. I would need to fix then that strengthens those neurons to that movement and my body gets used to that. So the thing that I'm asking is like, would I have to change things by practicing walking ahead to strengthen, you know, that energetic system in my body. So another example would be, let's say I'm running and I don't have good running form, right? Let's say I bow my hips out or something when I run. Right. And in order to, you know, in order to strengthen myself, do I also need to focus on the mental aspect of it? Doing this over and over and over again to strengthen that neuron connection in my brain.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think people think that they see someone doing something, or they watch a cool video, whatever it may be, and then they expect their bodies to just be able to do that, right? That's not how shit works. Like, I mean, you guys are both college athletes. You had to work your ass off probably from the age of 6, 7, 8, right? 12, 13 years of dedication every day, sacrifice. It's the same shit with, you know, eating and training. Like, your body has been conforming to all these bad habits for all this time. So to expect it to just go away, you know, after a week or 2 weeks, and that's, I think, people expect, especially as millennials, like instant gratification. That's not how shit works. Like, it's a process. But yeah, gaining awareness, like understanding where your flaws are and where your imbalances are, is huge. Like, that's the first step, right? It's like in AA, they say like step one, admit you have a problem. Same thing, right? Fitness. Take your ego to the side. Like, be like, yeah, like, shit, I don't know how to lunge properly. I need to just work at it. Practice the movement, practice different techniques, stuff like that.
I was reading a really interesting quote in the past week or so about Bill Belichick describing when he looks at a player on his team to figure out whether this player needs to be coached or not, whether he wants them on the team. So he said some players are, he looked at them, and he says, okay, this player can be coached. They have the good fundamentals and they just need improvement. And then he sees other players and they don't have the right fundamentals. And then he has to decide, is this the type of player who has really poor fundamentals and can be fixed? Or is this the kind of player who just does something really weird and it fucking works right? And I'm not gonna leave them alone. But if it's the type of player who doesn't have good fundamentals and he doesn't think they can be fixed, he doesn't bring them on the team.
Sounds like just like coaching economics. Like if you just took coaching and economics together and just added them in, like, ooh, is that worth my time? Is that got value right there? No, my coaching value can't be helped there. Hey, I don't have time to do it.
I fucking despise the Patriots as a Raider fan. I don't know if y'all remember the snow game
in 2001.
Yeah, it was bullshit. We don't Charles need to talk about in. That. This is a happy podcast.
I was a Rams fan growing up. No, I thought that Super Bowl was fixed as well.
Dog, really? You're a Rams
fan? Rams fan.
I wouldn't say a fan. I really enjoy. I've always been a fan of high powered offense across any sports.
The greatest show on turf: Marshall Faulk, Isaac Bruce.
I'm Torrey the opposite. Hall. I only care about defense.
Azahir Akeem.
That's why you guys get along so well. That yin and yang.
Yeah. Well, like the Phoenix Suns in 2005 with Steve Nash. Well, as fans, it's like that's become a thing. If I watch sports, I'm just a fan of good sports. I can still, if it's someone I hate, like, oh, good play over there. Good play.
I mean, you can't dispute the fact that Belichick's a fucking genius. So what you were referring to, I mean, you see the way they can like conform their roster, and they don't like give anyone huge contracts. Whoever steps in there,
over 3 years, they don't really pay anybody.
Yeah, and they maximize everyone's potential, and it's the same thing.
That's the trick right there. They maximize everyone's potential.
Yeah. So and if you think about it, that's what us three are trying to do too. You know, like. Through your guys' outlet that you guys have through nutrition, biohacking, and fitness, right? It's about bringing out the best in everyone. You know, my best is different from your best, but we're just all trying to achieve what that top level of optimal, you know, performance is, right? Am I right? Silence, crickets?
No, it's what I'm trying to do. But again, it's trying to being a coach. No matter what facet you're talking about, whether it's life coaching, biohacking coaching, personal training coaching, you know, how do you open up someone's eyes to being more aware of themselves? You know, you're not them. You're just someone who may be more acutely aware of a certain skill or a certain bunch of traits that you can pick up on. So trying to relay that to somebody, what do you do to relay that to somebody? Do you come at, you know, this person's just coming in from work. This person may just have the worst day possible, and now they're paying you for an hour or 2 hours of time to make sure that they're going to get the exercise they want. They're going to have someone who's going to put them in a good mood to exercise no matter what happened. You know, how do you reach that? How do you do that as a coach, being able to get that person to that state that they're going to be able to perform at a top level?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. You know, you can have all the knowledge in the world, and if you don't know how to manage people and relationships, then you're going to be a fucking scrub. You're going to be looking for other work soon. So, I mean, for me, it's really about, like, just getting to know the person, like, inside and out. And I don't know. I've always felt like I have the natural, like, the ability to just connect with people and kind of get a feel for them. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man, everyone is dealing with their bullshit. Everyone's dealing with their adversity. So, for me, if I see someone, I can kind of get a feel like they're down, they're not completely involved and engaged. It's really just about like stepping back and saying like, listen, like this hour is for you. You know, like you spend all day trying to support your family, worrying about the wife, the husband, the kids, right? And you're dealing with all this stress on a daily basis. I want you to really just zone in, forget all the bullshit, and just take this hour and just maximize it. Like, let's fucking have some fun and let's focus on you. And ideally, I'll try and tell them, like, yo, stay off the phone. And most of them, you know, they kind of listen and they buy in. But yeah, for sure. I mean, you deal with kids, right? So, I mean, I know you deal with all ages, but you coach, what, a fourth grade travel team?
I did, yeah. And for me, it's as a coach in anything, I wouldn't say it's a great thing. I'd say it's neutral. But I just relate everything back to me. You know, what is something that I was experiencing at that age? You know, if it's a 24-year-old kid, you know, from Japan, or if it's a 9-year-old kid I'm coaching basketball, you know, and how can I relate that? So I think I look reverted way too much back to myself when I'm coaching. Like, oh, this is something that I was experiencing. Maybe I can try and make this much more appreciative. Or I've been in that situation. What was it like being in that situation? And what is it possible this person's going through that they can get them to refrain from that state of mind and into the state of mind of right here and right now? And that's us exercising, or that's us having to win a basketball game or being able to train and perform at a top level. So it's, you know, bringing that person to the here and now, and like you said, making them escape. I know a big thing for you, like you were talking about, is not just about training. It's about all facets of life. I know Daniel does this. He has his own odd techniques, you know, that he might do. I have a bunch. I know we have a bunch of similar ones, whether that's writing down your goals in the morning, you know, writing down different things. What is something that someone can do outside of a training apparatus to make whether it's gain more awareness, more appreciation, or to enhance their overall well-being?
Great question.
Tangent over.
Yeah. couple things. I would say the two that I would say for me that have been super helpful that I think I've been doing since, what is it, August? Pretty much since the new year, actually, is just a grateful, like a gratitude journal in the morning. So it's pretty much just consists of, I write my intention for the day. Basically, it's one or two sentences saying what I'm really trying to achieve today. Usually it's along the same lines, like I want to make an impact in the community. I want to brighten someone's day. Something along those lines. And then I write three things that I'm grateful for, as small as waking up and having a roof over my head. A nice warm cup of coffee in the morning with some coconut oil and butter.
Be three things right there.
That's bulletproof.
Exactly. For all three.
Yeah, exactly. So something small like that, and it kind of puts everything in perspective and puts you in a good state of mind to start the day. And then one more thing in the morning, I take like a 3-4 minute cold shower, which is a fucking game changer for me.
Yeah.
I'll go like literally 0 to 100.
My water doesn't get cold enough in my shower anymore.
Same with me, man.
I'm at a point. I need it colder.
I started doing cold showers, but I stopped. I didn't enjoy them that much.
Well,
in terms of waking up,
it wasn't the cold. I just didn't feel like I was getting many benefits.
Okay. So there's.
Was there a time of day you were doing them, or?
No, I was just doing cold showers.
Morning, night?
I did them for like 2 months. I didn't feel like I was
getting benefits. Is there a certain time of day you did it?
No, I did them whenever. I shower whenever I am done working out. That's about it.
Mm. Okay, yeah. I just personally do like cold ones in the morning. It makes a big difference for me.
What do you feel after? Like, what kind of results do you get physically immediately?
To be honest with you, one of the things is it's like I know it's going to be uncomfortable, right? And it's the same battle every morning. It's like, fuck, it's going to be cold.
So it's that mental.
It's like a mental edge.
Durable.
It's a mental edge, but also, I mean, there's so many benefits, like immune system. If you look at a lot of.
Even enhancing testosterone levels. When we talk about energy, that's going to hit you right there. I mean.
Exactly. I mean, who doesn't want that testosterone level? You know what I'm saying?
Pump me up.
I mean, that's why I'm in keto. I mean, I'm just trying to get as much cholesterol in my system as possible so I can be building up some testosterone.
Yeah. So I also do some mobility stuff in the shower, as weird as that sounds. and then one more thing I like to do at night is I try to turn my phone on airplane mode like an hour before I'm trying to go to bed, which kind of helps me wind down, avoid like being in front of a screen and like constantly checking things, and then just grab a book, and like that's usually how I end. So I feel like starting the day, you know, with the way I have, like with the gratitude stuff, I would definitely suggest trying that for a week. See if you feel any difference. I always say, like, if you win the morning, I think you win the day. Like that first hour, you know, we were talking about like everyone's stressful throughout the day doing their thing. You know, if you can just commit that first 30 minutes, 45, an hour to yourself in the morning and kind of get your mind right before all the chaos begins, I think that's huge.
If people don't realize the small routines like that, that help you, that trick yourself to say, okay, well, I got this done. I went over and did this. I did that, whether it's writing those goals down. I have a few other writing techniques I use myself. Or it's, you know, waking up and just making your bed. It's a little trick in your mind that you accomplish something. Is going to be pushed on later in the day. Yeah. Whatever else you're going to be doing.
I read about the making a bed one. Where was that? I remember someone.
It was Stanley McChrystal, I think, who was on Tim Ferriss.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Five things to win the day.
Exactly. One I remember was, I read it in something of like Tools of Titans. I actually started doing that after, and it's like the concept behind it, right?
It's
like.
It's just not like, oh, I'm getting drilling myself. I have to be tidy and clean. Yeah. It's just a mental trick for your own mind. To make sure you're better
it's
off.
Another, it's a little win.
For 6 months, I wrote down the different things that I did every day to see which ones worked the best, and I would write like little improvements, and then I analyzed them. Hands down, making your bed those were the days that had the best effect.
Really?
Yeah. It's something about that immediate structure and you've accomplished something. Whether journal makes you feel gratitude and empathy, and I feel connected to the universe, all those things, and great, I'm surrounded by people and I'll hug you all. Yeah. But making my bed gets me energetic, focused, structured, and accomplished, and the rest of the day follows.
Do you have any trouble writing down like a gratitude journal or your goals in the morning? Because I feel like if I go down for the things I'm grateful for, I'm way too logical. Like I'll write down, you know, being white in the year 2017. You know, there's
he needs to protect himself from himself.
You go really deep.
Well, yeah, because it's like, you know, just being born in this time period with this color skin on these imaginary lines in the map. But that's the stuff I'm writing down. What are you getting down?
Man,
I'm trying to compare notes right now.
I think what Daniel said is super important, though.
You want to read my journal? My journal is...
We should share journals.
My journal... You know,
I've got in trouble with that. Girlfriend found my journal. This seems like a good time.
Let's all read an entry from your journal.
Do you have yours on your phone?
I keep mine on my phone because I meditate using my phone, and I go immediately to my journal after my meditation.
Okay.
And I write whatever comes out of my head gets down onto paper.
I could ring out right here.
Mine are all handwritten. I'm old school with it.
No, I have a few journals in that box over there.
Probably a deep connection by handwriting something, though.
Yeah, I think I'm just like a visual learner. If I write shit down, it makes me process it better. But back to your point, Daniel. Like, I think what you said, you tried a bunch of things, and then some things stuck, some things didn't as much. I think that's super important with all the stuff we talk about. You know, try these things out. Don't try them all at once, because then you won't know really which is working. Implement different things here and there, try them for a week, 2 weeks, and then see what type of difference or impact you feel, and then stick with it if it's good. Like you said, I mean, everyone's different. So, you know, the making a bed for me too, like I see the logic behind that.
Question.
There was a question.
No, I have another one. Who this is a whole different topic, so new question. Who is one person you strive to be or your hero in the space that you're in? Someone you look up to, you read their books, you follow their videos. It could be someone on YouTube, anyone in that direction.
I would definitely probably say my number one at this point is Aubrey Marcus. Not sure you familiar with
him? For sure. Yeah, I listened to his podcast. It's incredible.
Yeah, man. So he's got a great podcast. He founded the company Onnit, which is like a total human optimization company based in Austin, and they've just blown up over the last few years. But I just think like listening to him and the way he speaks so eloquently about like just mastering your mind, and like he talks about fear and all of these things, and he's so vulnerable. Like you would think it's like this dude, he's like the founder CEO of this huge company, and he's a good looking dude. Like he has it all, you know what I'm saying? And when he just like says some of the shit that he feels, it's like super relatable. Back to Brandon's point about coaching, you know, Brandon, you know, these kids see Brandon like crossing people up, dunking the ball. Like they're like, yo, like, fuck, I can never be that. But then when he dumbs it down and says like, hey, I felt like you felt, right? So it's like kind of like that relatability factor. And so for sure, Aubrey Marcus, I would definitely recommend everyone follow him. And then, you know, guys like Tim Ferriss, Ben Greenfield, guys who are always kind of like trying to change things up and innovate and not conforming to any rules or regulations. I always respect guys like that. And then, you know, like what you guys are doing too. I mean, it's fucking game changing, you know, like so few people I think are willing to like give up what they have in order to get what they want. Right. And that's the biggest leap of faith you can take. So the fact that you guys are doing what you're doing and heading to South America and, you know, giving up the comfort that you guys have here, like, is so admirable, you know. And I think when everything's said and done, like, a lot of people to that question are going to be saying, you guys, like, damn, like, that shit inspired me to fucking pursue my dreams, pursue the girl I wanted to talk to, you know, pursue this job or whatever it may be, you know. So
I think vulnerability is the key. Like, most people aren't willing to make themselves vulnerable in any capacity.
Yeah.
And I mean, Aubrey is the epitome of someone who makes himself vulnerable. His Instagram, he will put a picture of himself and say like how he was feeling that day, and he's like, this I could come across as looking like I'm trying to show myself off, but really, here's how I'm feeling. Here's the pain that I'm suffering through.
Yeah.
And let me explain like how you can see that. And then the vulnerability that we're going through by putting ourselves out there on a podcast. I didn't go to communication school. You know what I mean? I don't know how to, this is something new for both of us, right? So that's,
I have no idea what I'm doing.
We're lost right now. So are we in the middle of something? Sorry.
We're not live.
Yeah. No, but seriously, that vulnerability is something that's super important to take from. That's what I take from Aubrey. The exact said you thing. He's one of my favorite people on this planet.
Yeah.
Because of his ability to make himself vulnerable. It's like,
we got
to
get him on the show. If you're listening, Aubrey Marcus out there, who knows what you're probably tripping on some ayahuasca in Peru right now. But if you get this, come join us.
Come join us.
Take me to your leader.
Yeah.
Well, we have the Onnit takeover on the bus, and Aubrey comes down to Peru.
Dude.
We have an Onnit Academy takeover.
Yeah. But no, well, real quick, like finding, I know Tim Ferriss and like a lot of people, successful people, like stress on this a lot, is like finding comfort and discomfort, right? And I find like some of the athletes I work with, they fucking love like challenging shit that they can't even do because they're so used to things coming easy and just, you know, that extra challenge, that extra effort they need to exert. And then just different things, like put yourself in uncomfortable situations. Like Tim Ferriss, I know in his thing, he says like, go to a crowded coffee shop and just lay down, like in front of everyone. Just like you're taking a little nap.
That's your guy.
Yeah, and just do that shit.
I do it all the time, but it's not uncomfortable for me anymore. I need to push it.
Yeah, even exactly. Greater. And you do it for whatever, 30 seconds. If anyone says like, yo, are you all right? You say like, yeah, dude, I'm just posted, taking a little nap, waiting for my overpriced coffee. That's not even fucking bulletproof at Starbucks.
Well, hold on. Ready for the biohack? They have Kerrygold butter there. You just got to get hot. You just got to get a hot coffee.
Really?
You're way behind the eight ball, dude. You can go get a Kerrygold.
Say I am behind the eight ball.
I wouldn't know if it wasn't for this guy.
You can put three or four Kerrygolds in there. And you're getting what? It's almost like a tablespoon, like 40 grams of fat right there, depending on how much you're going to put in there. You got to ask them to blend it up as well so that fat gets mixed in there with a little bit of almond milk or maybe a shot of half and half.
I'm just going to make my own shit, dude. I can't.
But again, a hot coffee from them with a certain size is only going to be at $2. Yeah. So depending on what you're paying for overpriced, I can get you a steal at Starbucks. Get on the bus.
Yo, I'm definitely. We should definitely do this. Like, if there's a Starbucks open late night, hit it up. And
it's
just
open.
Like,
it's
all
right around the corner. It's open till 11 Dude, or 10:30.
It's so fun. Like, I was just in South America and I was like doing all types of shit. That was like everyone was staring at me and looking at me like with weird faces, drop jaws. And I was thinking, I was like, would I do this shit back in Miami? Like, would I go to like a place near my spot and just like act a fool like I was doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the answer is. Probably not, honestly. Like, it's crazy. And then once you get in the groove of it, it's like you start to get a little adrenaline rush. Like, oh, shit, like, I'm still here. Like, nothing happened. And you just fucking go with it, you know?
Yeah, tell us more about your trip. I know it was your first time going to a third world country, you're telling me. But
yeah.
Go a little deeper into it.
Yeah, so I mean, I've been in the, you know, I've been to Costa Rica, Colombia before. But I was in Guatemala. My buddy got married this past weekend in Guatemala City. So I wanted to travel the first 4 or 5 days before. So just checked out, traveled, and it was wild, man. I always come back from travel like with a whole new outlook, yeah. You know? And places like that where the quality of life might not be as high and people don't have the same sort of, you know, resources, money, whatever it may be, but they're still so happy. Like, you see them and like they're so grateful for everything. They're smiling, they're greeting you, and like you would think, like, you know, it's an American coming in, whatever, to my territory, but like they're so welcoming. And it's just like they're truly, like, the people out there are just like stoics, you know? Like, they're minimalists. Like, they have their families, they have, you know, they have food on their plate, and they have whatever their job may be. You know, you see so many like 50, 60-year-old like street peddlers trying to hustle and sell bracelets and fruit. It's like they'll go to any lengths, you know, to support their family. And it's just super admirable. And, you know, like, I think everyone needs to take trips like that to just gain perspective on how fortunate we are.
Is there a hint of envy in there? You envy that life?
I mean, I envy what you guys are doing, but I'm definitely, I have some things in the works that, you know, I might be spending a longer stints out there. But yeah, man, it's just, it's just a new and fresh mentality. And I think whenever you travel, you just meet other people traveling, and everyone has their guard down. Everyone is like free from work and all the stress back home, and everyone's just trying to meet, be friends, and there's no egos, and everyone's just trying to like love. There's mm-hmm. so much love and like compassion and like all those positive emotions, and like it's a great thing. I mean, it's awesome.
When you go back to the community aspect, I mean, our most of our communities here just aren't structured, you know, for us to get to know the people around us, the people closest to us. And, you know,
what do you mean, bro? We got Instagram and Snapchat. I send DMs to all my homies.
You think just like a few hundred years ago, I mean, you wanted to know the people that live close to you because those people were going to be your safety, your security. Those are people that were, you know, there was detriment to your life, your well-being. And now, I mean, you live in an apartment building, and how many people can you say you know in your apartment building, like, intimately? Like, just like, oh, that's a friend. We hang out. We go out. We do stuff.
Good point.
It just doesn't happen. I mean, even in my community here, these condos, I mean, I'm close to my neighbor right here. I've talked with a few other neighbors, you know. Have I connected with them? No, but I make sure at least, you know, I'm going out in my community, whether it's the farmer's market over here, the Yellow Green.
Yeah, great place.
Greatest place in Florida. And I mean, I'm just getting growing, connecting with each and every person over there. I can say there's at least 10 people there. I can name you 5 facts that a stranger wouldn't know about them. But I mean, again, that's willing to having that experiencing traveling. And I wouldn't say I do it for safety or security, but it's genuinely want to know about these people.
Yeah, man. And you like because you took me there my first time there like a month back, and just like your ability to connect with people, you know, is special. So yeah, man, I think people are like fascinating, man. Like the people are so different, and like their mental states and everything is so different and so unique. So I'm fascinated by, you know, human nature and just like finding out, you know, what makes this person tick or what this person's passionate about. So yeah, just like getting to know someone genuinely.
It's funny that we're chewing Trident gum too, you know, because 4 out of 5 doctors approve, but
layers.
7 out of 10.
Yo, there's layers to this shit. Funny fun fact, all right, about gum is gum sales have actually decreased by more than 50% in the last, I think, 2 or 3 years. And it's crazy because it's directly related to smartphones, right? You're checking out at the aisle and we're all on our phones. We're checking email, we're checking Instagram, wow, Facebook, crazy. Right? And that's usually one of those novelty items that we see at the check stand and we just, oh, pick up like, oh shit, like $1.29. I need that pack of gum. So people aren't as engaged with their surroundings and they're on their phones, and gum sales have plummeted. Like Wrigley like is shaking in his grave right now.
That's an incredible fact right there.
Yeah, no, and I swear, like, people can check that. I don't know the exact number, but I know it's greater than half.
Jeremy, thank you so much. I know we're short on time. I know I'm taking off for South America. Wouldn't say tomorrow, but the trip starts tomorrow. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for taking part of your time. Can you
ended the podcast talking about gum. That's exactly how we planned it.
You guys keep going.
Think about both topics. We went from this to that.
Wow.
You know, real quick, please plug into people. I know before I let you do that, I want people to know too that doesn't matter where in the world you are, you know, to connect as a trainer or just connect as a human being. You know, we have social media apparatuses to do that. So anyone out there, don't be limited by location, time, not location at all. Jeremy, go ahead.
Yeah. So I try and post. I'm in the process of really, really updating website and YouTube and all of that for more content. But right now, probably Instagram is my best outlet for posting videos, fun little facts, things that will hopefully help your quality of life. And that handle is Coach Jeremy 305, Jeremy 305. And then I also have another Instagram, E3 Performance, which is my company. And the last E in performance is a 3, not an E. So hopefully you can find me on there. But no, it's funny you mentioned that. I mean, people will send me direct messages from, I just got one from Dubai like last week asking for a online training program. And I haven't really dove too deep into like online stuff just because I'm really all about the interaction. Like, and like you said, everyone it has specific needs and things need to be tailored to them. But I'm really working on things that I can, you know, help people out based on, you know, their inquiries and them telling me, hey, I have pain here and there. So trying to just heal the world is really the main objective.
Amen. Healing the inflammation. Anti-inflammation. Then again, thank you so much for coming out.
Hell yeah, brother.
Save the Dina starts tomorrow. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. I'm going to close out the show here. Again, you want to find Coach Jeremy. It's CoachJeremy305 on Instagram. That's also E3 Performance, or just E3?
E3 Performance.
E3 Performance on Instagram. And again, reach out, connect. He has amazing, amazing, insightful information and different workout and exercises that you could be doing. Even if you're stuck in an airport or any location you may be in, he is going to have all that information
for you. Love those airport workouts.
And again, remember, you guys like this show, hit that subscribe button. And again, if you even love the show, write a review on the iTunes store. It goes a long way with us finding our people finding our show, people that may not be listening to this show, who may be out there exploring the show, exploring a certain and similar field. They're going to find it with that review. They're going to find that when you hit that subscribe button. So it goes a long way with us. And make sure you're tuned in. We're hitting the road tomorrow. I'm really excited about it, and I really want people to come collaborate and share with this amazing journey that we're going to be taking part in. So you can find us on The Bus Podcast, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and our email onthebuspodcast@gmail.com. And I think that's going to be it. Everybody, Jeremy, sign up. We'll see you.
Yeah, man, super stoked for you guys, and I'm so, so excited and blessed to be able to watch this journey close up, and can't wait to meet up with you guys at some point across this journey. So,
yeah. Nope, we're off the bus.
Hell yeah, brother.
See ya. Oh, my sweet baby Jesus. That's it. Episode 39. 39 of these things are in the book, in the bag. Spin it. We got them done. We got it. And we couldn't have done it without everybody tuning in, everybody subscribing, downloading, sharing all those messages, the posts everywhere. Thank you, guys. That's what helps this show get noticed. It helps this show get seen. So big thanks to everybody who's written reviews, subscribed to the show. And anybody who hasn't done that yet, get on it. Like you're on the bus. It's a two-way street. Now, remember, we got all these new places right now. If you want to pledge, you want to continue to donate, that's going to be on our website. If you're looking to shop through that Amazon portal, that's going to be on the website too. Smack dab right there on the front page. Now, if you want to connect with Coach Jeremy, just Jeremy, I don't know why I'm saying Coach Jeremy. Jeremy is going to be CoachJeremy305 on Instagram. Well, that's probably why I'm saying Coach Jeremy. And then you got E3 Performance. Now, listen, any questions, anything, this guy, he's great with feedback. He's great with getting back, and he's a great coach. You're going to want him. He works, again, with people from all across the physical spectrum, professional athletes to young kids. This guy is the best. So again, it's Coach Jeremy 305, and you got E3 Performance. The bus. The bus is out. See everybody. Woo!